Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading that was read just a little bit earlier. Please be seated. Luther's life was on the line that 18th day of April, 1521, 500 years ago today, as he stood before the emperor and representatives of the Pope in direct fulfillment of Jesus' words, "You will be dragged before rulers and kings for my sake to bear witness before them." This was the Holy Roman Empire. The mingling of church and of state meant that Luther could be executed for his false teachings, for his faith. Nevertheless, Luther stood his ground, fully expecting to pay with his life, and said, "Unless I am convinced by the word of God and plain reason, I cannot and will not recant anything. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Here I stand." "Here," he said. In our gospel reading today, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus replied to him that it was not flesh and blood that had revealed this to Peter, but the Father in heaven. And then said that upon this rock of revelation that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, Jesus would build his church. And for us now, as spiritual heirs of Luther, we too stand on that same rock of revelation, the Holy Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. For it is here that God gives us the light of the knowledge of His glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Here the apostles and the prophets bear witness to Christ, and upon their word the church is built, as Paul said to the Ephesians, "We are God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." And as Luther's spiritual progeny, we stand with Luther. Our congregation was founded on the Scriptures, and each of us individually in our confirmation vows pledged fidelity to the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments, even unto death. For as Jesus said, "These are the very Scriptures which testify of me." Now, in contrast, just to appreciate all that Luther did, in contrast, you have in our day all kinds of spineless preachers who refuse to stand for God's word, but who instead genuflect to the culture lest they say something that offends. You might remember when Rick Warren, that megachurch pastor, could not even bring himself to say that homosexual behavior is a sin, and he said, "I think the jury is still out on that." That's a quote. He said, "My source of authority is, what does the Bible say about it? However," he said, "people have other sources of authority and other readings of the Bible." Can you imagine if Luther had been that wishy-washy before the king at Worms? It is only the revelation that Jesus is the Christ and that his words are life and salvation that makes this a rock worth standing on. It is here that Luther stood, not kowtowing to the culture or to the wisdom of men and of popes and of councils, but captive to the Word of God. And here we stand with him on the one true Word that God has revealed from heaven. "Here I stand." "Here I stand," Luther said. "I, even I." In the movie Life of Pi, the main character, Pi, is wandering around in the mountains and he meets up with a Catholic priest. And Pi asks this priest about Christ. And the priest proceeds to tell him how Jesus was born and how he died and rose again and how through him we have the forgiveness of sins. And then after all of that, Pi says to this priest, "That's a great story. Now tell me another one." And the priest says something very profound to him. He says, "That's it. There is only this one story. There is only one story. It's our story. It's the human story of our creation, of our fall into sin, and of God sending His Son to redeem the whole sorry mess that we have made of this world and of our lives. All of Scripture is written to tell this one story: man's sin and God's redeeming grace. It's the story of Adam and of Eve, of Abraham and Sarah, of Noah, Isaac, Moses, of a stiff-necked nation of people who resisted the Lord's call upon their lives, and yet how God loved them and stayed true to His promises to them and brought forth from them their Savior and this world's only Savior, the rock of our redemption. And that is my story, and it's your story. For in Christ, I am redeemed. And you too. Redeemed to stand before God, fully absolved, washed in the blood of Christ, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy in His sight, faultless to stand before the throne, because we never could have stood on our own. Luther knew that. He was so keenly aware of his sin. He knew that he could not stand before God except upon this rock. And so can I. So can you. Despite our flaws, our sins, our failings, yes, even I shall stand, because Christ upholds me in His righteousness as the rock of my redemption. Here I stand. Yes, even I stand on the rock, forgiven and redeemed. Here I stand, Luther said. How would you bust out of prison? Would you try to get out without making a sound? Because that's how most prison escapees get away. But there is nothing at all subtle or quiet about the jailbreak we read about in our gospel reading. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Why is the church breaking down the gates of hell? Well, it's sure not because we're breaking in. We're busting out. The church that stands upon Christ as the rock of their confession can no longer be held in bondage to sin or death or hell. Christ has set us free. We're busting out, y'all. And we're not going quietly either. Christ is breaking down the front gates, and we're going out to freedom. And we ought to be making some noise about that. So why then? Why then, standing upon this rock, why are we so timid about confessing Him in this world? Why do we cower and crouch in the corner, trying to blend in with the culture and the people around us, instead of taking a bold stand for Jesus? What are we ashamed of that we so often duck and cover rather than stand firm? Are we ashamed of a Savior who forgives all of our sins? Are we ashamed to admit that we are sinners and that we need His forgiveness? Are we ashamed of Jesus, who's not ashamed to call us His friends? Remember Peter? He was ashamed when it came time for him to confess Christ. But Jesus reminds us that this is exactly what it means to stand upon Him as the rock. It means to confess yourself, to confess Christ and confess yourself as belonging to Christ, which Jesus says is going to come with a cost. He says you will take up a cross and you will follow Him, because there is a lot for us to lose in a world when we confess Christ, in this world that hates Christ. Peter learned that lesson, so timid that he denied Christ before His crucifixion. But we read in the reading today how he stood up in front of the crowds and confessed Jesus Christ. The one who had denied now speaks boldly in confession. Faith cannot keep quiet. As Paul said to the Corinthians, it is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." And then Paul goes on to say, since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Here I stand, openly confessing Christ and him crucified and risen for me at any cost, making some noise as I bust out of Satan's hellish prisons of fear and of guilt and of shame and of death, that all the devils in hell may be arrayed against us, but we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. We're busting out of death into life, out of the darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Here I stand. We stand with Luther and a million other souls who did the same. We stand upon the Scriptures, the rock of revelation of Jesus Christ. We stand upon Christ, our redemption, by which we, yeah, even we, stand before God blameless in his sight. And we stand against all compromise upon the rock of our confession, and at any cost, because it is the truth. It is not compromise. It is the truth that sets us free. Here we stand. We can do no other, for the Spirit of God has called us to this gospel. God help us. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.